Hey,
Macarena.
Oh, man.
Oh, bruh.
Hi.
I feel like
welcome to a certain point of view. Oh, Justin's gonna cut over the top.
I just keep stepping in. So I feel like I got a burp coming up here. Oh my gosh. Okay. Just start the show. We'll see what happens.
Welcome to From a Certain Point of View, a Wooden Bull Films podcast, everybody. I am Hayden Woodhead. I'm one of your hosts for today. And as always, the man on the other end of the microphone who joins me every week because he is the other half of this dynamic duo, this bad boys 1-2, is Mr. Fantastic himself, Mr. Justin Thermal. How you doing, buddy?
Good. I feel like I'm turning into a mountain man. But other than that, you know, I shower still. I just haven't shaved or groomed in a while. That's all. Oh, I'm good, man. I'm good. Hey, should we let the people know what we got coming up this episode?
I think we shall.
We have some trade talk. A number of things this week, actually. There's a couple things I'm pretty excited about that got announced, and I know Hayden's got some stuff he wants to share, too. And, actually, a big, big announcement. A big, huge, epic announcement coming at the very end.
Explosion! No, wait.
That was last week. But Michael Bay excitement for this one, I think, for us and a lot of the people out there. And then we're going to get into main discussion. We're going to talk about some women in film, some women filmmakers who are just crushing it right now. And worth a mention. We're going to do some speed quotes. No listener question this week, though, Hayden. And everybody. But that's okay. You can still email us if you have a question that you'd like to answer on a future episode. And I feel like my brain shut down. Okay, listener question. If you want to get a hold of us, people, From a Certain Point of View, podcast@gmail.com. That's it. My goodness. I just wanted to keep it rolling, Hayden, with the, because I was so excited that I was going to remember to actually do this part that I thought, how can I mess it up? But anyways, yes, you can email us at From a Certain Point of View, podcast@gmail.com. You can reach us on Facebook at From a Certain Point of View, Instagram From a Certain Point of View Podcast, and Twitter From a Certain PO1. Hit us up with those questions because they're fun and we're running low. We need your help.
Yeah, we run out of things to talk about.
Yes. Or send us a topic too if you want. Do our job for us. Could you just do it, please?
Use us as puppets. We will gladly talk about anything.
And then we got some Rachel's reviews, of course, and wrap it up with a whiskey shot to close it off. But before all that, Hayden, what you been watching?
That was quite the intro, Mr. Justin, Mr. Fantastic. Living up to his name. Living up to his name. I just wanted to say, everybody, welcome to the bullpen.
Ooh.
This is where you join us every week in our basements, our studies, our rooms, your earwaves, anywhere. But yeah, what have I been watching?
Welcome to my basement. Yes. Oh, sorry.
Nothing creepy about that at all.
Sorry.
So this past week...
Hayden looks scared.
I look scared. This past week's been a fairly slow week in terms of viewing stuff for me. Well, I say that. There is actually quite a few things I went through. I went back and rewatched the whole thing of Mallrats because when Alex and I went to watch it a couple weeks back, I think we both fell asleep within like first 20, 30 minutes, so missed it. I was like, I want to watch it again. And it was like going back in time, because I must have watched those first couple of Kevin Smith films every other day, going through high school, college, university, like all of that. Always, what am I going to watch tonight? I'm going to throw on a Kevin Smith film. So I could like verbatim Mallrats, and I'm like, such a good film. So funny. So I did that. Got a couple more episodes of The Clone Wars done, which was nice. You know, get my Star Wars fix. Alex started The Good Place as like a show to kind of watch while I was doing this. But I caught a couple of episodes every now and then. But she's already done in like in a week. She's like crushed all five seasons. I'm like, what's going on? I don't even know what's going on. I think I've seen the start of the first episode. And I was like, okay. So they're in The Good Place. But then it turns out that they're not. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm confused. And it's not a show that you can just watch and pick up. Like, you can just pick up on any episode and watch it and enjoy it. It's quite humorous, but it's like the overall story. I was like, I got no idea what's going on here. None. So who knows if I'll be able to watch that, because she's finished it now. So
that might be a tough
sell. She might go back and watch it again. Yeah. So there was that. I've been continuing on with The Peaky Blinders.
By order of The Peaky Blinders.
Getting deep into that. Season 5 now, I think, of 6.
Ooh.
I think. Well, we're at season 5, like, just started it. And I'm really loving it because it is literally a rags-to-riches story. But he's also keeping, like, you know, he's a gypsy working the streets, and then he's, like, each season. It's not over the top as well. I think it really works in the fact that they have all of this time to kind of show his, you know, ascending up the ranks of, you know, British hierarchy, I guess.
Influence. But,
yes. And all the performances in that show are just, boom, top notch. So I'm really enjoying that. And then just on the side, I've been watching a bunch of like mini info documentary historical things on Chinese history on the Three Kingdoms era. Now, there's a reason why I'm watching that. And you might know from the era that I just talked about. I'm using it as a reference point to the script that I'm writing. So I'm like, instead of reading, because there's always a ton of information, it's like, can't you just simplify it for me, people? That's what YouTube's good for. So that's what I've been doing this past week. And it's been quite fun. What about you, man? What's been on the old tube for you?
The old tubey tube. You know, still Schitt's Creeking it up. We're about a quarter of the way to halfway into season 5. So we're nearing the end. Only 6 seasons, 13 episodes a season. So it just gets better and better, man. Like, it really does. It's just one of those shows that you're just like, wow, this is just really good. So I've been enjoying that. And then actually that Joe and Naples series on YouTube that I started way back, they just wrapped up their first season not that long ago. And so I think I had like 4 of those left. So I finished that off, and I think they might be doing a season 2. So that was fun. That's a really good fun watch. And they're all quick, like, you know, 30 seconds. I think the shortest one was 22 seconds, actually, to 2 minutes. So, and it's just fun. It's just good fun.
Awesome. So I can binge watch that now in one hit, right? The whole season.
And it'll probably be like 15 minutes or something. I think there's 12 episodes. Yes. Smash. And I watched Old Guard, which is a new Netflix film starring Charlize Theron, directed by Gina somebody. I forget her last name.
Oh, I've not heard that one.
It was a really neat concept. Yeah, so there's a group of them and they're immortals, but they're not. Like they are, but they all have a time. And you don't know when that time's going to be. And, you know, they've been around for a very long time, some of them. And they've sort of, you know, have made their way through history in these, all these like really big events that have happened over the last thousands of years and how they've sort of influenced and shaped the world. And anyways, it's a really cool concept. I liked it. Charlize, of course, was amazing in it because she's just fantastic actress. There was some really good, some of the really good fight sequences and that, but it had its misses with me as well. So I'm not like a hard sell on it. It's worth a watch. It's definitely worth the watch. And at the beginning, I thought, oh man, like this is going to be really, really good. But never quite lived up to that for me. And then I started watching WandaVision on D+. Yes, Mesh. And that was, I just don't know what's happening. I want to know what's happening. And it's like, they just tease you. Cause you're like, you know, you've watched all the Marvel movies and all the Avenger movies. And so, you know, what happens. So you're like, well, how is this happening? Like what's going on here? So they do a really good job of that because it starts off and it's like black and white, like 50s, 60s style sitcom. And they got a laugh track and everything. And Jocelyn was like, this is boring. She's like, why do they keep laughing? She's like, this is so boring. I was like, it's not going to be like this the whole time, honey. I swear. Okay. We just got to wait. So she's into it now, but it's like took two episodes anyway. So it's got me. I don't know what's what, but it's got me wanting more.
Maybe that's a good thing. It's like, no, I'm going to have to keep tuning in to see if they actually give me what's what.
It is. It is a good thing. And I mean that in a good way. Cause even the way they end the first episode, cause the first episode, I'm like, okay, like something happened. And like the very end, there's like, you know, 5 seconds at the end where you're like, okay, I'll come back. You got me.
TV when they do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So same with episode 2, is the same.
Nice.
So yeah. And they let out Marvel Legends on Disney+ too, which is basically, it was really good to go back. We rewatched it after the first episode and they have, it's just like 10, 15 minute, episode on like the first one's on Wanda and the second one's on Vision because they just came out with WandaVision. So it's basically a recap of their whole arc throughout the Marvel universe, all the 21 films, like about 10, 15 minutes of just like the highlights, the big moments. So it's good to go back and rewatch that before watching it. Cause then you're like refreshed. Cause that's a lot of movies to keep up on, you know?
Yeah. Well, that saves you having to watch 21 movies.
Yeah.
Like, okay, now I'm ready to go on the phase 4 of Marvel films and TV.
So yeah, that's basically been my week.
Nice. Now I have a WandaVision on my watch list. So I want to catch up and then we can discuss week to week.
Yeah, let's do that. And actually I fell asleep maybe with 10 or 15 minutes left. So I'm like, I want to know what happened. There's this, a really cool sci-fi film out on Netflix. I think it's original. It's called Outside the Wire and it's starring, and I don't even know his name at all. And I feel kind of embarrassed about that, but it's the guy who plays Falcon in Avengers.
Anthony Mackie.
Yes. He's great. He's in a lot of stuff. So him and this other, younger kid are the lead, and I don't recognize the younger kid from anything, but it takes place in 2036, so it's near future, which I kind of like because it's like technology, you know, in whatever, however many years that is not going to be too far off from where we are now, but there will definitely be advancements in certain areas. But so it's sort of like, in a way, it's a little bit more of a realistic idea or approach to where the world will be, but also at the same time, and this isn't a spoiler, but they're testing out this new Anthony Mackie, is it? He is an android. So he's like a US military equipment, but he looks totally real and he can interact like he's a human, but he's not. And they're testing this like biotech, and it's really kind of interesting. I don't know if it's for everybody. It's not like a for everybody film, but if you're into sort of different concept science fiction films, it's a good one. I don't know how it ends though. It could end terrible, but but I'm digging it.
Right on. Now, funny that you should mention a film like that, because that is going to lead me very nicely, folks, into our tree talk. Because of the many things that I had that I was going to talk to you about, there's one that I was like, this is right up Mr. Turnbull's alley, and maybe a lot of our listeners at home. Every now and then we do dip into the sci-fi talk quite a bit, which is awesome because I never would have thought that we would have. But clearly, we're both are big fans of the genre. And if you've been paying attention at home, we're both currently writing sci-fi genre-based films. But this thing that I saw made me think of your story, Justin. And I was like, dang, this is right up his alley and you're going to dig it so much. And it relates to like a TV show, which I haven't watched, but I'm quite curious about. Black Mirror. I don't know if you've seen it. Okay, so you might know what I'm about to talk about when I talk about it. So Microsoft has gone full Black Mirror. Now, what Microsoft have done is they have a new patent where they will turn deceased people into AI chatbots. So what Microsoft is doing is they've got this patent in place where they will take social media of people's voices and images and personality that's online and create basically like an Alexa for an individual. And that person, that chatbot that they will be able to develop its own personality based on the information that it has gathered on this person. So that you can then have, say you have a loved one that passes away and, you know, you want to be able to communicate, you can create an artificial intelligence of that being. And then it's only a matter of time before then that thing can then be plonked into an android body, and essentially you've got a living, learning AI of a person that no longer lives. Mm. And I was like, whoa, hold up. There's got to be some kind of ethics involved in this. Like, what the hell is it? That's like, hey, Justin, what are your thoughts?
I love when I'm hearing about companies and people pushing technologies like this, because one of the first things in actually the first episode of Year Million is they just talk about, it's similar to that. It's about if you're about to lose a loved one and being able to upload them to artificial intelligence or into an android. So it's just artificial intelligence, but based off of an actual person. But the idea that it can self-learn is where it gets me, because what if you didn't like who your AI version of your loved one became? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it would have limitations though, because it's only based off the data that it's able to collect, unless of course it learns outside of that, which quite possibly could.
We got to all start being happy, positive people online so that when we get turned into AI, we're not ranting robots going around complaining about stuff.
Yes. Rawr, 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 rawr.
That is very cool. That's such a neat idea. Sign me up. I want to meet an artificial version of myself.
That would be kind of fun. Before you've passed away, it's like, hey, I'm going to make an experiment. Use my social media.
Yeah.
And all these podcasts and create an artificial personality.
Oh,
what if it's creepy. What if people like it better than the real you?
I was just going to say that you'd be so much cooler than me.
That's technically a form of human cloning right there, but it would be not physical. Anyway, I don't want to get too bogged down on that. I just saw that. I was like, dang, this is going to end up in a script somewhere, or I'm going to pass this on to Justin, and I'm like, hey, you'll like this. Turns out I was correct. Now, going from the weirdness to the happiness. Many, many, many episodes back, folks, we talked about happy days. And I was like, why does no one have happy days on a streaming service? Now, technically in Canada, this doesn't apply, but I found out that there is a service in the US called Pluto TV. Now, Pluto TV is an online streaming service, but it basically plays like real television, where it makes its revenue from ads. So it will place an ad on while you're watching, like it would on a normal television show, right? So you'd be watching a show and then they just plonk in an ad. That's how it makes its money. It has like over 27 million active users, like monthly users. So it's got a big user base, and it has all of these really old classic TV shows licensed out from their home, networks, and they're on there. So every single season of Happy Days is on Pluto TV.
There you go.
So if I could somehow figure out how to get a US IP address, no, don't do that, folks. That's technically illegal. But if I ever move down into the US, someone needs to do that outside, like, of the US. Like, all of these streaming networks that we talk about all the time, a lot of them are locked into the US only, which is unfortunate. I really dislike that people do that. And the one that annoys me the most is my Apple products are all linked to an Australian iTunes account. And there are not the same apps all around the world because of region locks and all this crap. And I'm like, get out of town. Like, we're all consuming the same stuff. Why does it not allow me to have it anywhere in the world? Like, I'm paying for it. Just give it to me. Like, I don't understand. Someone explain that to me. Send us an email.
Just give it to him.
Explain to me why I am region locked from some really cool content that other countries have got, even though I reside in one of those countries.
Yes.
Anyway, so that was my other little bit. And then I wanted to just kick it back to my home country real quick. Give them some props, because this doesn't happen very often back home. If a film makes a couple of million dollars in Australia, it is like a big deal, because the market is much smaller over there. Like I mentioned this on episodes past where I think it was when I was talking about the Wonder Woman's opening weekend numbers was like $16 million or something, and that was like the biggest gross of a film last year in the US. And I was like, that's nothing. Anyway, the pandemic has actually done well for Australian cinema, because there aren't as many films being released worldwide because they're all holding off until they can get the biggest numbers. It's actually done really well for the local content. So there is a film that has crossed the top echelon barrier of $10 million domestically, and it's still going up, which is huge for an Australian film. Not many films get past that $10 million. And it's called The Dry. And it's got Eric Banner in it, and it deals with a drought. And anyway, is a character goes back to his hometown, and it deals with the loss of a tragedy that happened to a young woman when the main character was younger. I got to say this on a side tangent, all successful Australian films always deal with some kind of murder or tragedy. I'm like, why can't there ever be like an upbeat, like good time Australian film that does really well? I got to say that though, as soon as I said it out of my mouth, Red Dog, which was one of the last films that made this much money, was 90% a happy story. 90%.
90%. 90%. And then maybe that just is a happy story in Australia. I don't know what goes on in the other side of the world. Death and tragedy brings us joy.
We all want to go apparently see that in the cinemas.
I need to see this on the big screen.
It's because our lives are so good just normally. They're like, I want to escape to what would be bad.
Yeah.
Watch that.
Take me out of this happiness and joy that I live in.
Not for the fact that there's droughts and floods and bushfires all at the same time.
No, we don't like, no, stop. You're ruining what we think of Australia. It's just sunshine and big waves and beaches from tip to tip.
And wonderful, wonderful actors and actresses who we'll get to later in this, in the show, if you are into that sort of thing.
I'm into it.
Now, before I hand it over to you, Justin, my last one very, very quickly is we've talked about Disney Plus's numbers surging in subscriptions. Netflix just released their final quarter of 2020 subscriptions. They are now at 200 million plus worldwide users. So their revenue stream is holy dooly. Hit us up, holy Netflix. We got plenty of stories for you.
What is the best word you could have used? Holy dooly.
Holy dooly.
Hashtag holy dooly. That's pretty good. Not bad. Not bad there, Netflix. I have a couple things actually I'm excited about. That I just actually came across today. So I thought, oh, this is so fitting. So HBO announced they're doing a new movie. And it is going to be a prequel movie to one of my favorite shows of all time. And I'm sure a lot of people can say the same. And that's a prequel movie to The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah.
And James Gandolfini's son is going to play a young Tony Soprano. And it's called The Many Saints of Newark and takes place in 67. And it looks, they released a teaser. Didn't show much, but yeah, it's going to sort of take place of a young Tony coming up with his crew in 67. And the director really wanted to deal with the clashes in New York between the African-American community and the Italian community. And so I think there's going to be like a whole nother like layer to this than the show, which is kind of cool. But his son hasn't been in much. So you hope he can just smash it.
Well, they it's the kind of like with Ice Cube's son in Straight Outta Compton. Right? Yeah, hadn't done anything.
Yeah, but that's Ice Cube's son. I mean, Ice Cube's your dad. You're going to be awesome. Like, you're just, how could you not be?
Yeah, the same could be said for James Gandolfini. He was very, very good.
No, I know. He was awesome. So, yes, I'm excited about that. And there's a little team up happening I'm excited about. And it's a horror film done by Blumhouse, and it's called Adrift. And it will tell the story of a fishing boat that discovers a strange distress call coming from an abandoned yacht. As a fishing boat begins to tow the other to safety, a lonely deckhand begins to realize that there might be something supernatural happening on the empty yacht. And why I'm so interested is because it's Aronofsky and Jared Leto teaming up for the horror film. And they haven't worked together since Requiem for a Dream. So I'm pretty excited for that one.
Yeah.
Because he's in that new one with Denzel and Jared Leto. Denzel Washington and Oh my gosh, the guy who played Freddie Mercury. I forget his name. They have a feature film out as well.
I forget his name too.
Yeah. This is only an Oscar winner. So Oscar winner Denzel, Oscar winner Jared Leto, and Oscar winner him. Anyways, that one's out right now, I think, actually. That's a thriller. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to Aronofsky and Leto teaming up.
Nice. Now, is that all?
Well, actually, there is something else.
There is something else.
Did you want to get to it?
Oh, I'll let you get into it.
Well, people, I have to say, I mean, I'm excited for this. I know Hayden is. And we posted on our social and people went crazy. And that is, they announced that there will officially be a Bridgerton season 2. Woo! Hopefully starting to film in the spring, maybe something by Christmas, like, because this last one just came out at Christmas. So here's hoping. And here's hoping it's as good as the first season.
Yes, yes. Now, what I really liked about this announcement was they didn't just do some, you know, variety press release thing. I mean, they did. But it was the way that they did the announcement. Now, any of you that have seen the show, you know that there is a gossip column that they all read by Lady Whistledown. Holy crap, you think I didn't watch the show? So basically, she writes these gossip columns about all the social events that are going on. Anyway, that's how they announced the next season was coming. They had the social pages of Lady Whistledown written saying, there's season 2 coming in spring 2021 is when they're going to start filming it. So I was like, that's really clever. Like, way to go. Way to keep the, like, keep it in the world. Nice job, very Netflix.
Cool. Nice job. Actually, they released some numbers on the first season of Bridgerton.
That they did.
Shout out to Shonda Rhimes. She's the creator, showrunner, and one of the lead writers, I believe, of Bridgerton. She also did Grey's Anatomy, which was a huge success. Anyways, Bridgerton season 1 has officially become Netflix's most watched series of all time. That's right, people. It has been seen in 82 million households within the first 28 days. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Now, what was the Queen's Gambit? Was what, like only 67 or something, or 69? It was 70 million.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. So it was up there. And then Bridgerton came out like a few months later and just went, no, no, sit down.
Crushed.
It crushed. Haha. And I'm having a season 2 limited series. Yeah. But so that was pretty cool.
And thank you to all of the folks online that have engaged with that Bridgerton post that we did. This one was for you. The reach and the comments and the loves and the likes, more than anyone else that we've posted about. So thank you for that. And this one was for you. So get excited, because we are too.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe Justin and I will do like a running commentary of each episode of the first season and then like release it week by week until the second one comes out. Who knows? We'll see what we can do.
Ooh, we could plan something fancy like that.
We could try. We will try. Let us know if you want us to do that. He might release a polly poll, you know, a J poll.
A J poll? A fuck puff poll.
A fuck puff poll. That's too much to come off the tongue.
That's too much. It's too much tongue. J-poll.
Okay. So that was what we were going to end on for the trade talk. But there was a reason why we left that one till the end. Not just because of the love of the fans, but because of the dominance of the females revolving around the development of that show. And it brings us into our main discussion of the day. And I've been reading a lot everywhere, and it's been really, really great. There's been some very, very dominant female filmmakers, movers and shakers that have been producing stuff and about to release stuff in Hollywood and around the world. I was like, damn, we got to talk about this because why not? It's a very important thing. And, you know, sometimes, as you would have heard, Rachel is a huge advocate for female filmmakers. They do some really good films, and sometimes it gets put on the side, and I want to bring it to the front. Now, did you want to start off, Justin, or you want me to take the ball on this one? Because I found a bunch of things that I wanted to talk about, and
you take the ball, take the bull okay. by the horns,
and I'll turn it to you when it's your turn.
I'll just jump in where I can.
Right on. Okay, so I wanted to start off. Well, I mean, we did just talk about Shonda Rhimes, the producer behind Bridgerton. Huge things coming from her, which is really great. Another woman that has been around for quite some time. Just won an Oscar, I think it was 2 years ago now. Frances McDormand. She's in Fargo, which is what she won her first Oscar for. She was in 3 Billboards from Ebbing, Missouri. This is the last one that I saw her in. But she has just come out with a new film called Nomadland. And why I'm bringing that up is it's the time of year where all the award ceremonies and all of the announcements start coming out on the performances of the previous year. Now, it's kind of a weird year for me because I haven't really watched many new things that came out last year because, one, I didn't go to the cinema, and, two, I didn't really watch the new films because there's plenty of other ones to watch. But this one came out, and she's actually a producer on it as well. So she's in the front running to be nominated as the first female to have both the best actor lead nomination and best film nomination for the same film. And I'm like, dang, that's like huge. So I was like, I gotta mention that. And I also have to mention the same film. Where's my notes gone, folks? I'm losing my mind. Now I'm gonna try and get a name right. The director of that film is Chloe Zhao. Now, she became just recently the first woman awarded the Director of the Year at the Palm Springs Film Festival. Now, Palm Springs Film Festival, folks, is one of the award ceremonies that's like a free indicator for Oscar gold or any other major awards. So to be the first female director for that is a good indication that that film is one that I need to check out. Now, if anyone has been able to see that film, let me know your thoughts. I'd love to hear it. But basically, it's about these nomad communities that they don't have a home base. So they literally move across the country in the kind of like modern day gypsies, I guess, but they're called nomads. So they're little sections of communities. So it follows a woman who is one of these nomads as she moves across, like around the place. So sounds like a very good character study story to check out.
Well, she's great, Frances. Like the role she does and takes are all, you know, outside your stereotypical sort of stuff. And maybe that's partially her. Because that's not who she is. She's one of the few who's also got the triple crown in acting, they say. She's got Oscar, she's got Emmy, she's got the Tony for theater. So I'm excited for this one because I really like I really like her work. The last one I saw, the Three Billboards, is really good.
She was also an advocate for the equal pay rights. At the beginning of the Me Too movement, she used her platform, because I think that's when that film was coming out and was like up for nomination. She really used it to push forward to have manifests like written up, agreeing for all people involved to be paid equally. I was like, sometimes you wonder why stuff like that has taken so long to happen. Yeah. But you got people like her that are there pushing it through, which is really good.
Yeah, she's actually, there's a quote she said, and that she's talking about her politics, and somebody said something about them being angry, and she's like, no, it's not just that they're angry. She said, it's more my politics are private, but many of my feminist politics cross over into my professional life. Because I portray female characters, so I have the opportunity to change the way people look at them. Even if I wasn't consciously doing that, it would happen anyway, just because of how I present as a woman or as a person. I present it in a way that's not stereotypical, even if she's playing a stereotypical role. And she said, you know, like, I can't subtract that from myself anymore, but she could when she was younger. She said, now you're, you know, when you're older, your life is written on your face. Like, yeah, there's no hiding it anymore. So yeah, she's doing great things there.
And I was talking this off air. If she wins another Oscar, she will be just, there's only five other performers who have won three or more best acting noms. So she'll be up there with Ingrid Bergman, Walter Brennan, and your boy, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Respect.
Jack Nicholson, Meryl Streep, and Katharine Hepburn. So that is a good company to keep.
No kidding.
So that's the first mover and shaker that I was like, this is very deserving, and I hope all the best for that film, and I really want to see it. And then...
Yeah, I think she had a tough time, but because there's another quote that I read from her that was very interesting and has to do with these characters, these roles that she takes on, because they aren't your typical roles. But, you know, she said if she had stayed in theater, because she'd started in theater, she would have played all the canonical leading women. But in Hollywood, her looks disqualified her, and she was either too old or too young, too fat, too thin, too tall, too short, too blonde, too dark. But at some point, she said, they're going to need the other. So I'd get really good at being the other. And, you know, eventually the times caught up.
That they have. All right. Now, I mentioned some Australian news because I wanted to link some other Australian news. Not so much about the country, but about a person from the country that everyone is very familiar with now, because she has risen up through the ranks of Hollywood A-list very quick through good performances. And it's Margot Robbie. Now, those of you who are not familiar with the name, she's been in films like I, Tonya, Suicide Squad, Wolf of Wall Street, just to name some of them, many, many more. She's a phenomenal performer. She's had a couple of award noms herself. I think it's only a matter of time before she gets one, but not that that's a measure of your success or your talent, but it's nice to know. Now, I'm always an advocate for the fact that Australians punch way above their weight in Hollywood. There's not many of them, but there's Nicole Kidman, Margot Robbie, you got the Hemsworth brothers. I'm going to take Russell Crowe. I'm going to take Eric Bana that I'd mentioned before, Sam Neill. Some of these guys haven't been doing quite as big as lately, but that's all right. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Margot Robbie. Now, why I'm bringing up her is she has created a production company called Lucky Chap. It's very Aussie, Lucky Chap. And
yeah.
Now, what is cool about it is like she's gone and she's gathered up a team and she's like, you know what? I want to be able to develop films that I want to star in or that I think would be really good films to have female-centric leads. And she's gone ahead and gone and done it. Now, she also recently did, this is news that I've not been holding on to, but I wanted the right platform and episode for Justin and I to discuss it. Back in October of last year, she held a all-women screenwriting lab where they had six writers and they all developed female-led action movies. Now, every one of those six films that was developed, like the scripts that were developed, have all been sold and have been put into production at various different, you know, studios around Hollywood and the world, which is insane. Now, it's kind of, we talked about Michael Bay last week. Now, this is the other side of it. Now, this is really exciting because I think there is a market for these types of films. Justin, you just talked about one just literally 5 minutes ago with Charlize Theron. And then that made me think of another one that she did. I totally just lost the name.
Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde, that's the one.
I so good.
Now,
you go ahead.
I was going to say, granted, that film is not directed by a woman, but it is starring, it's Charlize, it's like the driving force of that film.
Yeah. And it's actually funny because when I was watching Old Guard, I thought of Atomic Blonde because I loved Atomic Blonde. There's a fight sequence in Atomic Blonde on the staircase, and it's one of the best fight sequences I've ever seen with her. And there's like a segment where there's no cuts and the camera's moving up and down stairs with characters and the fight is going. Anyways, it's so good. And I was thinking that, and then I thought, oh, she did Mad Max Fury Road. She was in Fast 8. She did Aeon Flux. Like, she's like a bona fide action star, but I don't think of her that way, you know? So I don't, you, like, rarely when I think action stars, wouldn't normally think of a woman. And then when we knew we were going to like have this as a topic and I happened to be watching that, I was like, oh, isn't that interesting? Because you look at her work and she has done a lot of action films, but she's so well-rounded as an actor that she does, you know, non-action films. She can do drama. She can do comedy. She can do it all. So kudos to her. And so I was just doing a little bit of digging and she's actually produced Old Guard and she produces a lot of her own stuff as well. So she's out there, you know, making her films and doing what she wants, like a boss. And keep doing the action flicks. It's like Kate Beckinsale in all the underworlds. It's like, you know.
Yes, yes.
They can do the action. So it's fun to see. Yeah.
It would be good to see a different eye taking on those types of roles. Like you got exactly. Someone like Catherine Bigelow has done, she did The Hurt Locker. And I think she's the last female to win a Best Director award. Funnily enough, she beat out her ex-husband to win that award.
That was when Avatar was out, right?
Yeah. Beat out James Cameron. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
But backtracking, if anyone is interested in reading, you can actually read the synopsis of these six films that Margot Robbie's little thing, Writer's Room, created. The program's called the Lucky Exports Pitch Program. Now, if you look that up, That's the Lucky Exports Pitch Program. It has all six film pitches that have all been sold off. So that's 100% success rate for developments of films. That's much more than Justin and I have had. We'll get there. One from six from us at the moment. I think six. Anywho.
That's six.
Now, speaking of Margot Robbie still, because she has produced so much. And last week, for those of you that skipped past all of the guff of Justin and I went straight to Rachel's review, which we know there's a lot of you, she mentioned a film that she'd watched called Promising Young Woman, starring Carey Mulligan, who you might have seen in like The Great Gatsby or Drive with Ryan Gosling. Wonderful, wonderful actress. A little bit of news came out about that, which I thought was quite hilarious. Now, Margot Robbie's company is producing that film, and Variety decided to do a review of it. Now, what they have then done is they retracted the statements of the reviewer and issued an apology. Now, why I thought this was funny, I was like, wait, why have they done that? So I went and I read into it. Now, they released this film and Carey Mulligan's character is playing somewhat of a, well, lack of a better word, she's like the bombshell character in this film. And using that position, Rachel, you could expand on this for us. But anyway, the reviewer said it was probably better if Margot Robbie played that character because she fitted the description of the character better than Carey did. Totally tone deaf to what the film was about. And it was written by a man and then released by Variety. I was like, what? Like, Variety, come on. Are you not like proofreading your articles before you release them? And why would you get a man to write a review on a film that is female-centric and developed and produced by other females? And then you decide to use a man's voice on what this film was about. I thought, but anyway, kudos to them for putting the minor retraction and the apology in it, saying we don't actually follow the viewpoints of this reviewer, I guess, because you can't really silence one person's opinion, even if it is a stupid one. So they're allowing that person's view to be still out there, I guess, and then they're apologizing for it. But I'm like, you should have done your fact checking before you let that one slip.
So are they getting somebody else to re-review it? Are they going to do a second opinion?
That's a good question. I don't know how Variety works. I'm sure there are many other. They were like, we did the apology. I'm sure someone else will, but this was like the official like review,
right?
So, and I still thought, I was like, wait. I mean, maybe it was like a tight deadline. Like, oh, sweet, we got the email. Just plonk it in and send it out. You know,
yeah. Who knows how it works. He waited till 11:59. He's like, okay, yeah, it's got to be in before midnight. Don't want them to proofread.
Yep. So that's the last big one that of female movers and shakers. But there is another one that just because we talked a lot about Netflix again. And they're doing some good stuff with some good filmmakers. They have commissioned. Because I want to step outside of Hollywood. Because we do like to watch films outside of the bubble that we get sent here in North America. But they've commissioned a women's story anthology called, I hope I get this right, Pitta Cthulhu in India. So it is an Indian anthology film and it follows, I have to read this so that I don't get it wrong.
Stalling music.
Elevator music. Really, the Variety article only mentions that it is a four-part anthology film which features stories about bold women. And it's got a bunch of well-known Indian actresses in it. So I was like, right on. It's good to know that Netflix, that is a North American Netflix as well, is commissioning a international show telling female stories, giving it to the world. So I was like, that is another one. Because I'm going to go, little story. I've only ever seen, I think, a couple of films out of India. Now, it has the biggest amount of films produced worldwide out of any other nation. Hmm. And the fact that I've only seen a handful of films from there is telling. So this one I might actually, like, I'd be very interested to check out as well.
Yeah. If it's like easy and accessible, it has me. If I have to go look for something, I want to go look for something. How I want Netflix to, I just want them to tell me what to watch. Well, that'll be good.
So yes, folks, pay attention to those female filmmakers. Check out those films we talked about. Mm. There's some really good things there. Justin's given me some good ones that I'm going to watch. But right now,
we
got a tie.
It's rubber match time.
Rubber match. We're going to try and stump one another with some lines from some films that we might or might not know about.
Some one-liners. Yeah, we're tied.
Tied game.
I did well in the monologues, and then y'all who've been following along know Hayden stepped in with the speed quotes and just started pummeling me. So I gave him the old screw you and did a round of impossible ones. He still got two. Dang guy. But we found a happy balance now. And so much of a balance, it came out tied last week.
Yes, yes.
So this is the rubber match. So please, people, play along.
So this is what happens when you're losing. You have to find ways to turn the tide in your favor. I had him on the ropes.
It's called Oh my goodness, my mind just blanked. Muhammad Ali, the rope-a-dope.
Yeah. Rope-a-dope. Yeah. You just call me a dope.
Yes. What are you going to do about it?
I was like, the silence means, there. yes, he did just call me a dope.
I'm a rope-a-dope.
He baited me in, and then now I'm fighting. Anywho.
Who would you like to go first?
I can't remember who went first last week. I really should have listened back.
We didn't do one last week. We skipped speed quotes.
Oh, yeah.
Because we did a listener's question.
Okay, that is why. All right. So I can lead us off. I've got some doozies here that I think are going to stump you.
But, I like some doozies.
Some doozies.
I like
doozy do.
Coochie coo, doozy do. Let's go 1 minute on the timer, please.
All right. I'm just pulling it up now, and it's going to be in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Alrighty then.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Mole, bloody mole. You aren't supposed to talk about the bloody mole, but there's a bloody mole winking me in the face. I want to cut it off.
Austin Powers. This is The Spy Who Shagged Me. I don't know which one it is. Just pass.
Don't ever let anyone make you feel like you don't deserve what you want.
Oh, 10 Things I Hate About You.
Bit me directly in the buttocks. They said it was $1 million wound, but the army must keep that money because I still ain't seen a nickel of that $1 million.
Pass.
Sweet, what does mine say?
Dude, where's my
what
car?
About mine? It's pretty much my favorite animal. It's like a lion and a tiger mixed.
Oh,
bred for its skills and
Dynamite.
Magic. I was a slut. There was always be a part of me that's dirty and sloppy, but I like that. Just like all the other parts of myself, I can forgive. Can you say the same for yourself?
Boring.
That was the long one that I ended on. I should have gone to the next one, which is I love lamp.
Oh, that's got to be Will Ferrell in something. I love lamp.
Close. It was a Will Ferrell film, but I'll leave it for the audience to try and figure that one out.
You got five. Yes,
five record. Good ones.
Record. Out of how many?
Seven.
That's a passing grade.
Yeah, 5 out of 7.
Yeah. It's like I'm in high school all over again. No, my percentage goes down if it's 8. We'll keep it at 7. 6? Is it 6?
You missed out on... It was Austin Powers Gold Member, but I gave it to you because you knew it was Austin Powers because that was the character that was saying it.
Yeah, and so I was like,
I'll give it to you.
I realized after I said pass, I was like, oh, I should have just said all three of them because one of them was going to be right.
Yep. Yeah. See it. All right.
Okay, well, I got...
Heat is on.
I got 8 there. But I have 2 extra ones here that I might skip to if you get to 4 and then just go right to these ones.
Are they like going to end on the tough ones?
I'm kidding. No more sabotaging.
No more.
Whenever you're ready, give me the old countdown.
Countdown. All right, I'll give you the countdown in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
Die hard.
Back up, put the gun down, and give me a pack of tropical fruit bubblicious.
Bad boys.
United States astronauts train for years. You have 12 days.
Oh, is that Armageddon?
Yeah. I love pressure. I eat it for breakfast.
Pass.
I eat pieces of crap like you for breakfast. You eat pieces of crap for breakfast?
Happy Gilmore.
O'Doyle rules.
Billy Madison.
7 days.
Pass.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take. It's just a flesh wound.
Pass, and that's time.
Excuse me while I whip this out. Nice. So you got like 3. Okay.
Times
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Taketh the leadeth.
7 to 6. 7 days. I know you don't watch really horror films, but I thought maybe you might know that one just because it's iconic. That's from The Ring.
Oh.
7 days. Because after you see the film, you have 7 days to live. I think they say that in the film, or maybe that's just something that I say to people. 7 days.
And they're like, what is he talking about? I might have seen The Ring 2. I can't remember. Or maybe it was The Grudge. I don't know. There was a moment there when Hollywood was banging out Japanese horror films and they all looked the same to me. So I was like, eh.
But The Ring was like, I feel like The Ring was the first. Like, I remember when The Ring came out. I remember watching The Ring and being like, holy crap, that was terrifying. But then, then The Grudge came out, which was sort of the girl looked similar or the monster, whatever it is. I don't know.
You know someone who might know?
I know somebody who will know for show.
For show.
For show.
And folks at home, you will know exactly who we're talking about. Because she comes with her own jingle. And that jingle signifies and signals the coming of
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, what time is it? What time is it?
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Rachel's Reviews. I'm really excited today. I'm going to talk about female-directed films in 2020 that I enjoyed. So let's get started and not delay. I was kind of going to give a countdown, but I am terrible with countdowns and making lists and ranking. So I'm just going to kind of throw out movies that you should all watch. First one is my number one female directed movie of 2020, and probably up there is one of my favorite movies, but it was mentioned, Nomadland from Chloe Zhao. Frances McDormand is fabulous. And what I really love about Chloe Zhao is that a lot of the people that she puts in her movies are not trained actors and actresses. In Nomadland, the people that are in it are all in this like trailer lifestyle, but it's wonderful. She actually also had my favorite movie of 2017 called The Rider. Again, not trained actors and actresses. It's actually a family. So look into her. She is up and coming. She's also directing her first big blockbuster in the MCU called Eternals. I think it's supposed to come out next year, but who knows? But the cast is ridiculous. Next one is one of my favorite all-time female directors, Kelly Reichardt. My favorite movie from her is Wendy and Lucy, which stars Michelle Williams. Definitely watch it. It's really sad, but it's really good. This movie is called First Cow. It's about two men that are on the run and they also want to make some money. So they're poor and they steal milk from the wealthy man that lives near them. And they use that milk to make pastries and baked goods to get some money. Really great stuff. Very slow. So just understand that. Mentioned earlier, but Promising Young Woman, directed by Emerald Fennell. It is Carey Mulligan getting revenge on something that happened to her best friend in college. Can probably figure out what that thing is, but it's really wonderful, but very divisive from what I've seen. Next is, I watched this yesterday and it was a shock to me, but it's called The High Note. It's directed by Nisha Ganatra. It stars Tracy Ellis Ross as a performer who is over 40, which is very hard for some women to be in that industry. And it also has Dakota Johnson as her personal assistant. But Dakota Johnson wants to be a producer and produce her music, Tracy Ellis Ross's music, that is. And it just kind of goes through this behind the back kind of way of producing and stuff, but it's really good. The music is wonderful in it too. The Old Guard, which was mentioned as well, Gina Prince Bythewood. It's about immortal mercenaries starring Charlize Theron and a bunch of great people. Birds of Prey, which is directed by Kathy Yan, and it's starring Margot Robbie and Ewan McGregor, who I love. And we've been watching a lot of Ewan McGregor stuff, which I'll talk about next week. And it has one of the best sandwich scenes I've seen in a movie in 2020. I feel her pain when sandwiches are dropped. That gives away nothing. It's just a really great scene. Next is a documentary that's on Netflix, which I suggest you guys watch. It's called Dick Johnson is Dead, and it's directed by Kirsten Johnson, who was the director of Camera Person. It was a documentary that came out a few years ago. It's on Criterion Collection now, but this is a documentary it's highlighting her father's life. He has dementia. So her mother passed away of dementia too. So this documentary they put his death into comical instances, and it's so funny and it gets you so off guard, but it's basically a coping mechanism for her to deal with her father's decline. I mentioned this last week, but One Night in Miami, directed by Regina King. It's about Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, Sam Cooke, and Malcolm X in a hotel room, just talking about how they can be successful and how they should be successful and their responsibilities as Black men during the Civil Rights Movement. Highly recommended. So good. Next is a remake on the 1983 version of Valley Girl that was directed by Martha Coolidge. It starred Nicolas Cage and Debbie Foreman and E.G. Daly, who is the voice of like all the Rugrats. So that movie is wonderful. I recommend that. But this is a musical rendition of that movie, and it was directed by Rachel Goldenberg and stars Jessica Rothy from the Happy Death Day series, who I love her. She's so great. And Rachel Goldenberg had a doubleheader in 2020. The other movie she directed was called Unpregnant, which stars Haley Lou Richardson, who gets knocked up and she wants to have an abortion, but she can't have it in Missouri. So she and a former best friend road trip to New Mexico to get one. It's very controversial, I would assume, but it's really good. And last but not least is this documentary that I actually did a review for 2 years ago when it premiered at, I believe, South by Southwest. I could be wrong. I can't remember. But it's called Finding Ying Ying, and it is directed by Jian Shi, and it's about the disappearance of this girl named Ying Ying Zhang on a college campus. I can't remember the year it takes place or which campus it was for certain, but it's a heartbreaking tale, heartbreaking documentary, and it's just, it's very worth the watch. So I still need to see some more movies. I want to see Relic, which is a horror movie, and another movie called Never Really, Sometimes Always, directed by Eliza Hittman. But I'll get there. I'm not rushing things, but there's two things, two movies that I'm looking forward to this year. And it is, one is Candyman by Nia DaCosta, which has been pushed back from 2020 to 2021, which I can't wait for. I'm so excited. Candyman, the series, is a great franchise, except number three. The third movie is terrible, but one and two are wonderful. And then another movie I'm really excited for is called Passing. It's by Rebecca Hall, who is an actress. She's a wonderful, wonderful actress. If you haven't seen any of her movies, please seek them out. She is so underappreciated. I just love her. She's in a movie called Christine, which is a true story about Christine Chubbuck, a newswoman who shot herself on live TV. Crazy stuff. But she did a movie called Passing, which just released at Sundance yesterday, 2 days ago. But it's getting great reviews and rave reviews. But I'll read what IMDb says. Passing follows the unexpected reunion of two high school friends whose renewed acquaintance ignites a mutual obsession that threatens both of their carefully constructed realities. The cast looks amazing. And I am so excited for this. So that's my lineup for today. Apologies for the fast talk. I'm trying to squeeze it in for the boys. But I will be returning next week to talk more and see you then. Bye.
Hey.
Hey. Oh. Hey. Oh, can I get a what? What?
What? What?
Can I get a hey? Hey.
Hey, hey.
Can I get you bringing us back into the show?
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. That was another wonderful Rachel's review. And I hope folks at home listening that you got some good insights from the brain of Rachel. And I do every week. And I hope that Justin does. But even if he doesn't, it doesn't really matter.
Brains.
Some great recommendations there, some great insights, and some great films that you should all check out, or at least one or two of them. I know that I do. I have a list that's continually growing. It's getting bigger before I can watch, but that's all right. Anywho, it brings us now to a little shot. And that's the whiskey shot. Now, for those of you that are new to listening, the whiskey shot is not, in fact, us having a shot of whiskey. It is a spin on an old film term. Well, Justin can have one because he's a producer, so he's allowed to drink on a job. But back in the old days, the martini shot was a term that they used when it came to the final shot of the day, the final filming setup of the day. And we decided that we were going to spin it into whiskey. Because that's something that we are preferred drinkers of. Well, Justin is at least. I have my little cup here. It is full of water.
Well, that's a nice cup you got there, a mug.
It is a nice cup. Now, the whiskey shot is where we talk about what's coming up on the next week before our next episode. So we get to dive into, so you guys get a little insight into our brains on what we're going to be watching, reading, writing, consuming, digesting, spouting about. All kinds of things. So.
So many ings.
I have.
So many ings.
So many ings. This is full of some apple juice. No, really. This is full of water. Now, I had something that I was going to do in the new year that I was going to bring up to Justin, and then I totally stopped doing it because of our hashtag, folks. Our hashtag is hashtag moist mustache. Now, again, new listeners, if you go back in time and listen to any previous episodes, there is a not a segment, but I have story times where I go into how I fall asleep watching programs and I drool all through my mustache, hence moist mustache. Now,
and he looks damn fine when he has that drool dripping from his mustache on the side of the couch too, I might add.
Ooh. Yep. Alex always laughs me awake and I'm like, was it drooling everywhere? And she's like, yep, like streams.
Like everywhere, everywhere.
Everywhere, everywhere. Like Pavlov's dog. But I've had this facial scruff for a better part of maybe coming up to three years now. It was full faced and then it was like the connected beard and now it's like split. It's like a Three Musketeers looking thing. And I was like, it's a new year. You know what? I think I might shave my mustache off. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I can't.
How could
you? Because it's somewhat. I know, because we were at the time we were doing the competition for the moist mustache mug. So I was like, well, I can't really shave it off if we're doing a competition based solely on this. But I thought I'd bring it up now because it's still on the cards. I have not decided whether or not I'm going to, but I thought, what better way to bring it up to Justin if I bring it up with an alternative hashtag?
Ooh. Oh.
So. Yes. So moist mustache, Hayden falling asleep watching TV shows and drooling all in his mustache. I also have whiplash wonders. Now, when I fall asleep and my head flicks all the way back and then I wake up, it's like, whatcha? I'm awake, I'm awake, I'm awake. And holy dooly, have I done some numbers on. I've got really strong neck muscles because no joke, I am like 90 degrees back and then whoa. So that's my alternative hashtag, whiplash wonders, hashtag if I do shave the mustache. So,
well, people, there's only one way to solve this, and that's with a J-poll. And by the time you hear this, I'll have already put it up maybe. Or maybe I'll wait. We'll do a J-poll.
Maybe I'll wait.
And we'll see what the people say. Tune in next week to see if you guys agree. If hey,
or will I be stuck with this?
I say make him keep it, guys. Make sure you come out. Vote. Vote. Vote keep.
So that's one thing that I was contemplating. But for the following week, I am going to continue watching Peaky Blinders because I'm getting through that. I'm also going to try and catch some more movies because I've got a bunch on the watch list. And, you know, I talked about Mallrats earlier in the episode. I want to track down more Kevin Smith films, but there are none on Netflix. So they might be on Amazon Prime, so I might check that out. I'm going to try and get to WandaVision just to catch up on that. Mm-hmm. Keep going with Clone Wars. I had a snag on my script writing this past week, but I pushed through it, folks. Perseverance. Even if it's just like a couple of lines a day, just keep doing it. Get through it. So I managed to break through a bit of a barrier where I was stuck on a scene. Now I'm good, I think, for the first draft. And that's where I'm at for now. That's my week ahead. What about you, Justin? What has your week ahead got in store for you?
I'm going to keep shitsing it up with some Schitt's Creek. Oh, I got to watch that last 15 minutes of Outside the Line, that sci-fi one I was telling you about. And maybe I'll watch a Frances McDormand film. You'll do that because I just really like her. And I'm going to do some writing. I mentioned in the last episode I came to a crossroads and I need to make a decision here at this point, which will determine the whole rest of the film, which seems like an obvious statement. whatever happens here will affect what happens later. But I need to make that decision to decide which way it's going to go. So I don't know. I don't know if I should just write or if I should waste more time thinking about it. But I want to make sure I make the right decision.
Just do it.
By order of the Peaky Blinders. Yeah. So I'm gonna do some of that. And maybe try and catch a new movie. Oh, and keep going with WandaVision. That's it.
Right on. Easy. That's it.
Maybe throw it at J-Pole.
Easy peasy. Watch out for those J-Poles, folks. We want you to participate. And those, again, are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're at the start of the episode. So if you made it this far, congratulations.
Rewind.
This week's hashtag was, once again, what was it? It was Hooly Dooly. Hashtag Hooly Dooly. Now, I'll put the spelling of that up on the episode.
Please.
Now, that's it from us in the bullpen. I am the Bruv.
And Mr. Fantastic. And I am Mr. Fantastic. Can't speak. Clearly. Might be a little bit tired.
Today. Dramatic pauses.
I hate them. Hashtag Hooly Dooly.